This podcast is made possible by Optimizely. Optimizely is the leader in progressive delivery and experimentation. Our platform includes feature flagging, progressive rollouts, and A/B testing. We help your teams release software quickly, then test and learn in production before rolling out to all users. Using the Optimizely full stack platform puts product managers at the center of the product development process, allowing you to de-risk big ideas, make bold bets, and build better products.
Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
I'll be talking about product thinking principles or design thinking principles while building ML products. And this is something that I've recently learned over my career within my company right now, where I was about a year and a half to 2 years ago, I moved into operations space where I was trying to build products for operations, which were more about forecasting. And before I move ahead, I'll just want to understand how many of you are new to product management or trying to move into product management? Most, almost. Today I'll be talking about design thinking principles while we're building ML products and how we can tweak the design thinking principles which are already being used in any product or program in any space, and how we can apply them into machine learning products. Just to give a background on where I came up or I poked into this particular aspect of building products was that a year and a half to 2 years ago, I was working on, I was given a charter to build an ML-based product in operations. And coming from a retail background, I had never worked on a non-customer facing product or a non-platform building product. So this was pretty new to me. And I was trying to understand, how do I approach this particular problem? And how can I tweak my existing ways of working on products and use them on building ML products? And that's where we're going to talk a little bit more about how you can apply design thinking into building ML products. And I'll, over the course of this particular presentation, I'll start using examples of how you can apply these different stages of design thinking principles into product management for ML. Before going ahead, just to give a brief idea about what design thinking is, it's a very tangible tool that product managers can use to innovate and build products that serve customer needs. And it is heavily customer focused. It works backwards from customers, where you try to understand what the customer challenge is and then work backwards from there to build your product. It basically divides building a product into different stages, where it allows you to build products faster and with fewer iterations, so that you can fail fast, move fast, and build successful products. So I'll go about first understanding why we should be focusing on building a customer-focusing product rather than looking at a technology and then trying to fit in a customer problem that is being served by that technology. We've learned over several years and through different companies that if you start building technology-first solutions rather than building user-first solutions, there are highly likely chances that you're going to fail because you're not serving the customer needs directly. And that generally happens, especially in the case of building machine learning models, which are really all about learning from customer experiences and also learning from what are the customer inputs that you're getting as part of your model or as part of the algorithm that you're using in product management. In this session, we are going to be majorly talking about how you can apply design thinking principles into ML model build or ML-based solutions, and not really going to go in depth into what ML algorithms you need to use for different types of problems. taking it to the next level, especially if you're building a technology first solution rather than a customer first solution, you'll be basically getting insights from customers which may not allow you to scale your ML product correctly, or which may allow your ML solution, or let's say an algorithm, to learn wrong things about customers or things that you don't need at that particular point in time. So that basically defines your algorithm going in the wrong direction, and probably you may not be able to scale at the end of the day. And then now we'll move towards talking more about how does a design thinking framework really work, and what are the different stages of design thinking framework, and how we can apply them while challenging or while tackling a particular customer issue, and then bringing it from customer back to how do we define a problem, and then ideating towards it to building a quick prototype which we can learn. So there are basically five stages that generally go into design thinking framework. You start from customer, try to understand what are their pain points, what are the challenges that you are trying to address, and from there, what is their current experience, what do they want to build as an ideal customer experience, and take that to the next level where you are then defining what the problem statement is, and basically segregating each of the problem statements into various stages, and brainstorming on how what kind of solutions can you leverage to handle those problem statements. Once you've defined those solutions, you would probably pick the best one which addresses the customer problem, and then prototype on it quickly. Especially in the case of building ML products more than any other customer facing product, you would want to prototype really scrappily and launch fast and learn fast. Especially because of the fact that your models need to learn from customer inputs or feedbacks from feedback that you're getting from the customer. And hence, I think the prototyping phase is the phase that you need to really start quickly on, rather than waiting on building the perfect customer experience or perfect solution for your customers. And then moves to the phase of testing and then repeating or testing and learning what you've done so far. I think the font is not coming in the slide, but basically the different phases of the customer challenge or design framework is customer empathy. Then you would start with defining the problem statement or insights generation, and then moving towards ideating on the solutions that you will use, then prototyping, and then test, learn, and repeat. So I'll move to the customer empathy phase, and probably take a hypothetical example as well to explain how you would apply this in ML products. Let's say I'm a part of a company and I'm a manager who's trying to retain talent or retain my employees within my organization. Now, in this particular situation, what are the challenges that I'm currently facing, and how can I help or how can I tackle that particular situation? Customer empathy is trying to basically understand in depth what your challenges that the customers are facing and what are their hidden needs. Sometimes they would explain and they would go in a circular motion and try to explain that I have these 100 problems, but there could be 101 problem that they are not aware of, which you can determine based on your discussions with the customers, and that becomes a hidden need. When you talk to your customers, you can also understand how do they evaluate a product that works for them, and that will help you to define your success metrics and metrics that help you to measure whether your product is going to work or not. So these interactions are really essential while you're building a product. Taking the example where a manager is trying to retain their high-performing employees or any employee within their organization. In this case, if you talk to the customer or the manager in this case, the challenges could be that, oh, I have tons of employees within my organization and I have all this historical data set on who's getting retrained or who's getting retained and who's attriting or getting leaving my organization. But I don't know how can I use these lagging indicators to define, okay, which employee I need to really engage with, take an action or work with them and retain them so that they don't leave my company. And what actions or what steps can I take that will really help me from in retaining them rather than them leaving the organization. So let's say this is a problem statement, and this is something that you would devise using different customer research methods. I'm sure most of you would have heard about qualitative research and quantitative research, but these are actually applying them into principles, especially in the case of building ML products. If I'm talking about qualitative versus quantitative, I would stress on both of them, especially for the fact that you need to learn from customers what insights or what inputs you should be taking into your machine learning models. There could be tons of information available from, let's say, my organization's people metrics, process metrics, operations metrics, but which of those metrics may be able to help me to infer whether an employee or whether a leader is going to leave my organization? Those insights are some things that are going to come from these qualitative researches, where you would interview your leaders or managers, you would conduct focus group discussions, conduct usability discussions, etc. And then quantitative research will basically help you to prioritize which of those insights are the ones that you should probably be using as an input into the model. For example, if I'm building a model that predicts which of my, let's say, or if I'm trying to forecast which of my managers or which of my employees are going to leave my company, there could be tons of people metrics that you could be looking at. Okay, what is the tenure of my employees, or what is the number of manager changes that this particular employee has had, which may have caused a bad experience for them, or any other such metric. In order to identify and in order to prioritize these metrics, that's where your quantitative research is definitely going to help you, where you can then consult and identify which metrics may play a key role in building my machine learning model. Eventually, you will feed them into the ML modeling techniques and then figure out which factors are significant, but this is the starting phase. Then, the next phase, once you've defined what the customer experience is, what is their challenge right now, you would move into the insights generation, or defining the problem statement that you're trying to tackle by understanding the customer problem. And this basically involves understanding or defining the different themes that you are trying to tackle from that particular customer scenario that you've gotten, and basically dividing that customer theme into three stages. One is, what is it that customer experiences currently, what is the current state? What are the frustrations that the customers are having at this point? And what is the end state that they want to get into? So in our case, where we have managers complaining about, I don't know how to retain my talent, or I don't know how to retain my employees, good or bad. In this particular scenario, the current customer state is that I'm probably using all the traditional lagging indicators to understand historically what have been the attrition trends in my company. And these are not able to provide me actionable insights that I can take to proactively retain my talent and take the right actions that help me in retaining that talent. And then secondly, this comes to the frustrating piece also, that I don't know what actions I should be taking, and I don't know which employees I should engage with more as compared to other employees. And then probably the desired end state for them that I would have defined is that I need a solution that tells me proactively which employees I should be engaging with and what should I be doing that helps me retain those employees within my organization. So that gets us to the three stages of insight statements, and this will eventually help us in building or ideating on solutions that can help us in solving this customer problem. This is another example that is generally being used in industry for any retail or probably platform solutions, etc., where you would define a customer journey, where you would try to understand what are the customer pain points and what are the gaps in their current experience and what are they currently trying to do to achieve to their end state. And this is generally done through a quick visualization that helps you understand the entire customer journey from conception till the end. And I'll quickly take you through an example in the next slide. But the reason we would do this particular exercise is to basically understand the current state, how does the customer feel in each and every stage, and then how can you tackle those feelings or those challenges in each and every stage and break the problem down further.
What does CX stand for? Is that customer?
Yes. So CX stands for customer experience, and UX is user experience. So just another terminology that we use in the product space. But if I take you to the different processes, and this is just taking an example from the retail experience, you would basically have the customer goals. Where exactly are you touching the customer, and what are the customer thoughts in each and every stage? And then where are the ideas to improve for all of those customer stages? And it goes from, let's say if you're trying to buy a product on a particular website, then what is the awareness level of that customer? And then how do they evaluate which product they should buy? And once they buy that particular product, then what is the experience that they're getting and what do they need? So this helps you in dividing what are the challenges that customer may have at every stage and how you can tackle it through improvements that you can either make in an existing product or you can create a new product altogether that supports their requirements. And to just stress upon that fact, design thinking framework can be applied at any stage of a product. It could start start using this framework during product conceptualization, or if you're even building the 100th feature of your product, or it can even apply to a service or a program or a process. I'll move to the next stage. So let's say you've defined your insight statements where you know what is the problem you're trying to solve, what is the frustration that customers are having, and what is the end state that they want. You would then move into the ideation phase wherein you would so the way we think about it is we would spend maximum amount of time in understanding the customer and then spend the rest of the time in solving the problem. And that's what the leaders over the past have also said. So I just took this phrase from Albert Einstein. But I'll move to the next stage where once you've defined your insight statements, you would then try to make them or transition them into how might we's. We generally use this across our team. Design thinking framework is generally applied where all of your team gets together and tries to solve the problem. The traditional ways of working on product management is that the PM will come, he or she will talk to the customer, bringing the requirements, and then share those requirements with your tech team to develop a particular solution or science team. But during design thinking framework, it all starts from a group where you would have your engineers, designers, as well as data scientists or product managers, program managers, all coming together to ideate on the solutions that you would want to bring in for the customer. So in this particular case, you would ideally want to develop or define your insight statements into how might we's. These are basically chunks of statements which are broad enough to drive creativity and also narrow enough so they are manageable and you are able to build out respectable solution for a particular customer problem. And it basically consists of three components, right? How, as in what is the idea that you have that you can use to solve the customer problem? And then V gives you the feeling of teamwork where you're working and collaborating with your entire team to bring out solutions. And if I take the example of the how might we statements in our current scenario where I'm looking at, okay, my customer wants a proactive way of retaining my talent or retaining employees within my organization. And at the same time, they also want to know what right actions they should be taking, which are effective in retaining their employees. So in this particular case, I could divide my solution into three different how might we's or two different, you could choose. But the one of the how might we's could be that how might we or how might I enable my leaders to identify the right employees to engage with at the right time. And then how might I enable my leaders to probably define the right actions that they should be taking to retain talent within their organization, and so on and so forth. If you have a larger problem that could be probably solved through multiple how might we's, and the way we generally do it is that you would have a room full of people and you would have sticky notes where you would put in different how might we statements on the board and then prioritize each of those. And just to recollect, in the customer interviews as well, you would have prioritized these insights or these problems based upon what have you learned about the most, or what is it that the customers are complaining or talking about the most. That also helps you in prioritizing your how might we's. And once you've defined these how might we's, you would then move into ideating for what are the solutions that you could probably use to solve this particular problem. And in this particular case, especially since my customer wants to be proactive in retaining talent, I would probably want to build a forecasting mechanism for them, so I can tell them, okay, based on the historical data set that we've collected and built a machine learning model, let's say, I predict that this particular employee is at a higher risk of leaving my organization, and I should be engaging with them. And then probably you can take data on what actions have the leaders taken in the past which have been effective in reducing the risk of employees leaving the organization, or in improving the retaining mechanisms within the organization. So there are different thinking styles that you can use to come out with these solutions, and a couple of them, like you, each of them or all of them actually could be applied all together at once, or you could go one after the other, or you could go in sequential order. Basically, when we talk about divergent thinking, it's more about brainstorming on new or different ideas that could solve these particular problem statements. And then you come to emergent, which is more about how can you devise new ideas based upon all the existing ideas that you've already whiteboarded. And then convergent is basically talking about, of all the different solutions or of all the different ideas that you have, what are the best solutions that handle or that address the customer problem that you have. And brainstorming is basically helping you to promote openness. Generally, I've seen there have been organizations which have a closed connect, and probably the product manager comes in with the problem statement and tech starts building products. But this allows you to actually have conversations and get your tech teams and data science teams and program teams involved in the entire product building experience. And that also gives you an understanding from the beginning about what could be the challenges that you need to address earlier than later, instead of coming to the tech team and then they sharing the insights or the challenges that they may have in building the product. And I would, there have always been discussions within my team as well, where I've had challenges, and sometimes not as well, where you would look at a closed box and saying that, knowing what we know now or knowing the technologies that we've already been working on, these are the challenges that I'll have. So I'll probably restrict my statement or my solution to this particular technology and solve it in a particular way. But over here in this particular exercise, you would go beyond the existing solutions or beyond the technology and rather look at what could be the solutions that are out there that you that could help solve the customer problem, and then go towards solving this particular problem technically or through ML models. And if I get everyone back to our example, in our case, we are trying to be proactive. We're trying to say where the risk of your talent or employees leaving your company lies and what actions you should be taking which improve or which are effective in keeping your talent back into your organization. So having said that, the solutions over here could be that I can build ML tools or I can build predictive solutions that help me in predicting the likelihood of or the severity of employees leaving my organization. And at the same time, I could also build linear models or inferential models that can measure the effectiveness of all the existing actions that I'm taking to retain my retain talent into my organization. Or I can use this as an experimentation or recommendation tool through which I can test all the new actions that I want to measure for effectiveness in retaining talent. So let's say we've come up with these solutions. The next stage that I would have is around prototyping, where having known that, okay, these are the different modeling techniques that I'm going to use because this is the problem statement that I have, I would start with quickly prototyping and testing this particular modeling solution with my customers, because your model needs to learn from all the customer observations and feedback that the customers are providing, which goes back as an input into the model. So I would rather go with building a scrappy solution or a quick experimentation tool, define my experiment plan to define how long I should be running my project for and in how many areas or how much data set do I need to measure whether my product is working or not. And at the same time, have key success criteria that I can measure this particular experiment on. And you would basically work with your team, and it could be data scientists or economists, to come up with this experiment design that'll help you to define how long and where I should be running my experiment for. And then measure that against treated as well as non-treated groups. So yeah, as I was talking about, I'll probably start with a low fidelity solution before I move to a high fidelity solution. And I would want to gain feedback from the customers before I can move to the perfect world solution that I want to make for my customers. And this is basically talking about what are the advantages and disadvantages of building low fidelity versus high fidelity. I've seen in most of the organizations, generally the case is that you would always be resource constrained and you would want to work fast or move fast, fail fast, learn fast. In that particular case, you would really want to go start working on a small or scrappy tool before you actually build the perfect solution, which the customer may say that I don't even need. So I would want to start with an experiment and then move towards, after I validate that my product works or my ML solution works, move to the product building phase. And then once you've started learning, and there will be always scenarios where you would fail. And I can take an example, whereas there could be scenarios where you would say that my model works for certain types of customer bases, but it does not work for all the customer population that I have. And I should probably be looking at, instead of generalizing my model, can I be customer base specific, where and that customer demographics can be defined in several different ways. It could also be the case that my model was working when I was looking historically or when I was training and retraining my model, but it's not working in production. It could be because the inputs that I've used in my model aren't good enough for the changing risk profiles that I currently have, and I need to evaluate or improve it further. So this prototyping really helps you to fail over there and learn from that and move towards building a better solution. And as I said, like, it involves continuous feedback from your customers, and that would really help if you are in direct touch with your customers, either learning from what are the challenges that they're currently having in the solution. Because sometimes when you are working on such tech solutions, you may lose sight of what is it that will be comprehensible by customers. If I just surface the direct output from my models out to my customer, they may not be able to understand, okay, what is the meaning of probability? Like 70% probability, is it a good probability? Or is it a bad, like, is it a good number or a bad number? Or if I'm like taking out examples from a regression model, like, is 0.13 chance a good number versus a bad number? So how do you define that customer experience? And that's something that you would also get as feedback from your customers. And that helps you to evaluate or evolve your model further. And that comes to the last phase, where I'm talking about how can you test, learn, release, repeat. So yeah, so these are the different stages of design thinking principles that you can apply to building an ML product. And eventually you would come to a point where you've built a product that the customers love, through which you're able to measure the success, whether it's leading to the goals that you'd set in the first place. And then if you're not able to do that, then how can you improve on your modeling techniques, or do you need to look at other techniques that can solve the customer needs?
This podcast is made possible by Optimizely. To learn more about how you can get started with progressive delivery and experimentation, visit www.optimizely.com.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.